Hey, everybody. Code Pen Radio. I guess we're on episode 403 now. We're back. So many of you have reached out and said, you know, hey, I'm still subscribed, which is amazing to me. I thought podcatchers would have some kind of like, this podcast has not been updated in 2 years and just auto unsubscribe you or something, but apparently not, or at least not most of you.
Showed up in mine.
Yeah, nice.
Showed up in mine one day.
One day, nice. And we'll be on YouTube as well now, so feel free to subscribe over there if you like looking at us. We may or may not share screens in all these, but sometimes, and even when we do, of course, we'll mouth blog it to, you know, make sure you can understand what's happening if you're audio only, like me. Mostly, even though I love YouTube, my podcasts are still audio. And Rach, you haven't been on in a while. Hi, Rach.
No. Hi. I'm still here.
Totally. With new equipment, or maybe not totally new, but we both have nice cameras now and nice microphones and stuff. So that's working. What I was going to say is we're going to talk about the new 2.0 editor. That's the point. That's why we're back here at Code Pen Radio mostly, although we have things to talk about that aren't always that. But in this one, we are going to get into it. Some new features, not only what they are, it's not just a show you new features thing, but how they were implemented, why they are implemented, the difficulties of implementing it. The UI, the UX, all the way down to the API to what, you know, the user feedback we got and just everything. So that's the point here. We are on Code Pen Radio. This one's going to be about specifically two things that we refer to them both internally and externally as permissions and privacy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have so existing editor, so people have the context for this. You can already do this very simple thing where you just mark a pen as private. It is a pro-only feature. So you just you save it and it's quote-unquote private. And what do we do for private pens now? What's like the checklist for a private pen?
So currently a private pen means that it's put at a specific private URL, which doesn't look like a public URL. It's a different value. And then we also just make sure that pen doesn't show up in any of our public feeds, or we don't index it for search. It's not going to show up on Google when people search for it. So theoretically, the only way that somebody would see your pen is if you were to take that URL we give you, that private URL, and you share it with somewhere else, or you post it somewhere publicly. So that's the level of privacy we have had in the past.
It's a special URL. Yeah. It's very long, unguessable, all that.
And I think the main reason people like it is because over just, you know, public pens before that, for that feeds feature, like people who are just working on their work. Like, it might be really cool and we'll see it and we'll be like, oh, that's cool, we'll pick it. And then suddenly it's on the homepage of CodePen and they don't particularly, they might not want it to be on the homepage of CodePen. So that I feel like that's the most common reason why people like that private functionality.
Or it's not even done, or it's for a client. I mean, we know that there's a whole bunch of users that pretty much only make password protected
private
pens.
Stuff. Yes.
Yeah. Private pens. And so there, we even released a setting at one time that was relatively popular that every time you save a pen for the first time, it just is private, just immediately. So a lot of people like it. There's one little weird part of it, though, I'd say, and we've known this for ages, is that it doesn't maybe feel super private. Like, you have this URL, and we really do try to protect it in all the different ways, but if you just share it in an email or whatever, any way you could possibly give somebody else a URL, boom, they just see it. It's just immediately there. And that's unfortunate for someone who's expecting, I don't know, a different feel to privacy. Like, sometimes when stuff's private, they're like, but I need it to be like actually private.
no one can see this ever. Like, whether they have the URL to it or not, like, they can't see it. Yeah.
They just can't see it. And for an app like ours, which is kind of architected to be mostly public, that's unusual. For the most part, in SaaS apps, it's like whatever you do, if it's just naturally private. It's like, ain't nobody seeing your spreadsheets and stuff when you make them, unless you more explicitly share it. But But in our case, we kind of default to public and then make private kind of the slightly more rare feature, I guess. Okay, anyway, that's what public and private is. Also, interesting to CodePen, when we poll our users and check pro usage, it's hugely popular as a selling point. Like CodePen, the business, yeah, needs to have those. And so we were always like, God, since we know that, shouldn't we do more? And, you know, to make it like quote unquote more actually private, even though whatever, the way that you can improve that feel is to make something password protected. So you put a password on the thing, that way when somebody visits that they have to type in the password, then they can see it. Certainly that would be a bit more private.
Mm-hmm. And people have asked for that in the past, I'm pretty sure. Like, it's been a request.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh yeah, can I put a password on it? Because I think the main difference between a password implementation and what we've got now is that your private URL essentially acts as a kind of password. Like, if you've got that private URL, you can get in. Mm-hmm. But those URLs are static. They never change. So if you were to accidentally leak your URL to someone you didn't mean to, then you can't fix that. Like, you can't, I'll say, give me a new private URL so that person can't see
it anymore. That's a good point.
You would have to delete the pen, start a new pen, copy it over. Well, I mean, we have forking and stuff to make that fairly easy, but still it's inconvenient, you know, whereas versus like a password implementation, it's like a private pen, but then you have this extra layer of they need the password. And you can also just change that password whenever you want. So anyone who had the old password won't get it anymore, yep, won't be able to get in the pen anymore. So,
right.
Yeah.
So we wanted to build this. We probably should have built it long ago, but just in the spirit of this new editor, we just decided to put absolutely everything into the new editor. So that's what we've done here. So now we do now have this feature. It is done. It is in the private beta. Feel free to request access for that by emailing in, that kind of thing. Password protected now exists. I even remember, this is probably feels like ages ago for you, but you used to do agency work, and it can also be an issue for something like, I'm making a little demo for Pepsi or Nike or whatever it is, and they really want it private because it's like,
yeah, there's a funny thing in like advertising where like everyone takes it so seriously. Like it's like you're guarding the nuclear codes to like, you know, a little promo for a new type of shoe or something. Like it's just, yeah, but they do really, they love their passwords. They love passwords on their in progress work. Yeah.
You can get fired for it. And, you know, you hear once in a while news of, you know, certainly you leak something at Apple, you're gone. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
All right. So we put in, so that's an idea for the new editors. We put in password protected pens. Again, it's done. It works just like Rachel said it does. You can just click, you know, you still have the, we don't really call it this, but kind of classic privacy. You can just make it private and it behaves exactly like it did before. Or another option is to password protect it. And now it's private too. It still has that special URL and it's still protected in all the same ways. But you also have to type in the password. So there you go. That's the feature. There's an additional thing, though, that's a little interesting is like, when do you see that password screen? When does it block you? And it's in two very different places. One of them is the pen itself, which means, I don't know, the editor, where you're seeing the code and the preview and everything else. There used to be things like full page view and details view and all that stuff. And they had different URLs. Those are kind of gone in the new editor. We don't need to dig way into that, but most of those views are just covered now by the editor in different states. So anyway, by password protecting the kind of pen editor itself, we get all those. But then there's the actual like preview itself, which is kind of like the website or what people used to think of as debug mode and all that stuff. That's going to become a bigger deal on CodePen. That needs to be protected too, which are just internally just handled differently. Different URLs, different experience to it and all that. So both of those things needed to be protected. Yeah.
Yeah. If you try to visit a debug view or, you know, a preview of a pen and you haven't authenticated via the pen editor, it will actually just redirect you to that pen editor. So you can put your password in. And then once you've done that, you can go back to the live view or debug or, whatever preview version you wanted to visit. But yeah, mm-hmm. the actual password entering page always is sprung from the editor page itself.
So that's three options: public, private, and password protected. And there's one more, but before we get into that, it sprung from another feature on CodePen that we need to talk about first. That's why these are so, I don't know, intrinsically intertwined, or however you want to say it. One of them is that now, this is another totally new feature of the CodePen 2.0 editor, is that you can just like invite one person, not just one. I'm just saying, you can invite multiple people, but like one at a time, I guess, to come and be an editor with you, or just a viewer. There's different roles. And it's just like a Google Doc or like a spreadsheet, like I mentioned before, or I'm looking at Notion docs right now. I can invite someone to Notion, Figma, you can pull people in. And this was interesting to us as a business, because there's even blog posts from Figma saying that this was part of the network effects that allowed Figma to grow as big as it has today. Not that we're like fancying ourselves some Figma-sized company immediately. Sure, that would be nice and all. But it's important in that kind of way. That's why Figma usage would like spread within a company, is because one designer could start using it and invite other stakeholders, other designers, whoever, to those documents and be like, oh, wow, yeah, here it is. This is exactly what we need to do. Not to mention, it's just kind of expected these days, if you're working on some productivity document of any kind, in our case, it's kind of a website or a pen, you should be able to invite somebody to work with you, or at least to see it. So, of course, we put that into the new editor as well. If I'm working on a pen, I can invite Rach to it. I don't really need to, because we're on a team together. So team-owned pens, we kind of automatically are collaborators on together. But this is for, you don't have to be, teams are just tangentially related to this now. You can just be a regular old pro user and invite somebody to a pen, and now you're both kind of co-editors of that thing. Great. We could talk a lot about that.
That user doesn't have to be pro either. So you can be, be the one who's pro, and you can add free users to your, which is great. People use CodePen a lot for code interviews, like pair programming interviews, like over Zoom and stuff. So, we needed to make sure we kept our collab functionality from the old editor for that
this
reason,
is collab mode.
Because there's people who use it. Yeah.
This is basically collab mode. So kind of better in a lot of ways. We could get way into how collab works and all that stuff, but this is that feature essentially. You don't need, and there's no special URL for it. It's just on the pen itself, you know, kind of a neat feature in a lot of different ways. So now that you can do that, it kind of gave rise to a fourth option, right? Public, private, password protected, and
collaborators only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does that mean exactly? It is a little, is it obvious? I hope so. It's our job to make it obvious, but
idea of the collaborators only level of access, we sort of call it, because we used to talk about pens in terms of public and private. And so it was pen privacy. And now we have the idea of pen access level. So you have your four options, one being public and three being private on some level. And the collaborator's only privacy access level is probably the most private of all, because it means no one will see that pen. Doesn't matter what URL they have. No one is going to see it. It's never going to end up on any feeds. Even if it did end up on a feed and someone clicked on it, they wouldn't be able to see it. Like, it's just, there's no way somebody's going to see that pen unless you specifically add them to it. So it's like a truly private pen. And it's also a way to turn on collab mode for your pen, is to add people to it as editors. There's also different roles you can add people as. So you can add people just to look at it and get view access to it, or you can add people as an actual editor so they can edit the pen with you. And that's the collaborators only pen. And you can also, you don't have to have collaborators only on to add collaborators. It's just, that's controlling the privacy. So you could just have a public pen and add collaborators to it. But like you can, this is just saying, I want no one to see it unless they are a collaborator. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like access level is literally what we call it, at least internally. Do we use the word access publicly? I'm not sure. I think it's just a privacy setting.
I'm not sure, but in our APIs and the way we talk about it as access level because privacy was to us, you know, we're so used to it being a binary value and it kind of still is. That we still talk in terms of public or private pens. But now there's sort of three different levels of privacy in that private pen you can choose from.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I hope that's not terribly confusing. We'll see. That's what beta is for, kind of, and time and changes and stuff. But this idea that you can have this public pen that just multiple people are working on together, and it's fully public. People can check it out, and it's just a part of CodePen like any other pen, but two or more people are working on it together. That's fine. That's totally fine. It's just if you want to be like, I want these three people, for example, to only even be able to see it, then you just flip on collaborators only mode and that and sucker is locked down to just those people. And then the two levels of access, which are as you explained, viewer and editor. Mm-hmm. Wow. So viewer and editor, I mean, we don't need to go super deep into it, but that was complicated just all on its own, right? Like having this like invite flow for that very complicated.
It's so funny. It's such a ubiquitous pattern around the internet. Like, oh, invite this, send this, give us this person's email and we'll send them an invite and we'll add them to your document. That's like so common that I was like, oh, it shouldn't, you know, be too difficult to do.
Yeah.
But then when you get into the actual implementation, you realize like, I now understand, I won't underestimate how much work that is again, because it was so much work getting it, you know, to work, testing all the edge cases, also like privacy concerns. Anytime you're talking about sending people emails, adding people via email, you got to make sure that you're not like accidentally creating a vector for people to get CodePen IO email addresses. So you've got to make sure that people can't spam people with invitations, you know, like sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had it on GitHub, Chris, where like you just get invited to like random repos. Like,
ooh, I haven't, but I can imagine that. I get other ones.
Yeah, like, it happens to me. Yeah, it's but and apparently for the more high profile people on GitHub, like they just get like spammed with invites to and it's just spam basically. So you just got to be like aware of not creating spam vectors like that. So it took some extra work thinking about that, thinking about throttling invites and, you know, just you put in an email address and we're not going to confirm that that email belongs to someone on CodePen until that person actually accepts the email, the invite, and then you go, okay, cool, they've joined. But we're not just going to go saying, yeah, they've got an email on CodePen because that's like a vector to getting that information. We somewhat complicated things by saying like, give us their email or their CodePen username.
And even that's complicated by they don't have to even have a CodePen account. You could invite your boss or whatever.
Yeah.
And they'll create an account and then accept the invitation. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah. So you have to sort of figure out which email to send them. Do we send them, hey, you're a member, you've been invited? Or do we send them like, here's our sign up flow email, you know? So yeah, there's just complexity all the way through. And it was I think I probably did the bulk of the work and it was like, I remember working on it for like 6 weeks. It was just, it took so long, like for just one thing.
It's a beast.
And a lot of
the conversations and stuff. It's not just like, you know, it's the kind of feature where you can get started working on it, have not everybody totally get it, you know, even at CodePen, and have more meetings to talk about it and then be like, oh, what about this? You know, there's edge cases all day. And these kind of edge cases are not like puntable edge cases because they're too important. The throttling was a fascinating one. I think an interesting aspect of this too is we needed a freaking dashboard to handle it all. There's a bunch of UI because it's like, for example, somebody shares a pen with you. That's been happening to me in the beta because, you know, we'll be working with somebody on a pen. And I like that people have the natural instinct to be like, well, I'll just invite Chris.
You know? Always put Chris, if you're working on something in CodePen and it's like, give me an email, you're like, Chris Coyle. Like, that's always the default to put in.
Yeah, yeah. But it'll just be like somebody with a bug and they'll just invite me to the pen as a way of like showing me the bug or whatever. So how would I get back to that pen? It's not mine. I don't own it. Right. So what, you know, how am I going to find that again? Well, we have this new like top level dashboard thing called Shared, and it has a way to explore pens that you have access to, even though they're not yours. And then another one that's like, well, what about all the, just for, I don't know, maintenance reasons, maybe it's nice to see all my pens that I've shared also in case that access level is wrong or I, you know, this project is over. Maybe I'll pull these people down. So we have this pens shared with you and pens you've shared. That's nice and all. And then a kind of a, we call it the collaboration invites dashboard. That's like, what about all these ones that I've sent? Have people responded to them yet? Do I need to resend it in case there was some kind of problem? Well, you can't, you know, here comes the throttling, you know, you can't resend it over and over. So we have to track that, which I think is probably some little Redis timeout thing. It's all very complicated.
Yeah, it's like a Redis cache thing. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
if I've been invited, isn't it possible that I didn't get the email at all? There's some kind of email problem. I use a weird provider and it's going to spam, but I don't have access to the spam, yada, yada. You shouldn't have to use email for this. So there's a dashboard there instead that shows me all the invites that I've been invited to. But then there's little additional UX things. It's like, what if I'm just sitting there on the pen anyway? Now the pen shows an invite that says, hey, you've actually been invited to this pen, so you can respond to the invite from the pen itself. You know, just UI.
a lot of new UI that we didn't have previously around managing. Also, like when you know, in the pen itself, we have a section for adding and removing collaborators and setting their access level, and just it's just, there's like a whole bunch of UI there internally too. It took us a little while to figure out, you know, it's the first time we've done true role-based permissions on CodePen. Like, it used to be just like, are you in a team? I guess that could be considered role-based. Are you a team member? But that's as far as we had gone. And now we, you know, we have different levels. We have viewer roles and editor roles, and just figuring out what that means. Like, can an editor also add another collaborator, or like, can they delete the pen? You know, just like just figuring out the levels of access that those roles have. Yeah.
Which are just, they're just meetings.
Yes, they're not, discussion meetings. Yeah.
What we don't have, not that we could never have, but what we don't have is like a role-based, I don't know, you don't get to define your own roles. You can't be like, I'm going to make a role called, you know, head of HR.
It's like, we internally have the role based. Yeah. We're setting the terms of the role. But yeah, it's not like Amazon where you can add and remove things to roles. We haven't got that far yet. Maybe if it became like a thing that people really wanted, more finer grain control over that, we could do it. But right now we're just setting the what the roles mean. Yeah.
It's probably not complicated quite enough to warrant it. But you could imagine a world where you're like, well, now there's GitHub integration. So, but I want my editors not to be able to edit the GitHub stuff. So it's a special new role. Fortunately, we're architected for all that. So it won't be like a bolt-on situation. And that'll be nice. But I think, you know, just to answer the hypotheticals placed so far, I think when you're an editor, you can invite other editors. Like, that's something we decided you could do.
Yes, that's what we landed on. Yeah.
But you can't delete it.
You can't delete the pen. We decided on only the owner can delete the pen. Yeah.
Wow. It was a lot. And there's probably 50 more things you can, because everything goes through kind of a permissions model. So any dang thing you can do goes through the same little funnel of figuring out if you can or can't actually do that thing.
Yeah. We had to do this. We had to add some more data models, some more data tables to like our system of already a billion tables, but add some more it used to be just privacy was very much like a binary, like, oh, is the pen private? Then behave like this when you know you're going through your routes to any route to a pen or any API resolving of a pen. When you're figuring out whether to show it or share it, you're just going, is it private? Then do this thing. And then if it's public, if not, do this thing. But now there's extra levels. So if it's public, same as before. If it's private, what level of privacy is it? And then if it's got to the point where, you know, if it's a password, redirect to, you know, this password entry view. And then if you get to the point where it's role-based, then we start going into like tables that control basically they're like either role-based, so they're assigning a permission to a person, or they're password-based, and it's sort of like when you enter a correct password to a pen, you get a permission record assigned to your session for that pen saying, like, they've entered the correct password. And so we store that permission for as long as you're in your current session, and then you can,
right?
Yeah, and then when you sign out and your session ends, it will no longer the password entry will no longer work. But for as long as you're signed in and you've entered the password once, you can go back to that pen as many times as you want without having to re-enter the password. Yeah,
yeah. I think a way to think about that is that you get a role, no matter what, you have a role when you're using CodePen. And even if you're like anonymous or whatever, or you're, no matter what situation is happening, you've been assigned a role, and that role is the thing that can handle what you can and cannot do. That's, I guess, what we're deciding was a good way to do this. Mm-hmm. There's other ways to implement this, and a bad way to implement it is to, I don't know, shoehorn everything without roles. Like, sure, there's roles, but in this particular case, you know, it's not really a role. It just kind of allows people to do certain things, but kind of skips the role-based flow. It's like, no, if you're going to do this, everything needs to be role-based. And so,
yeah, it's just a neat way to organize it and make sense of what you're, when, you know, say you're resolving something in an API and you're like, okay, well, how do I make sure that somebody doesn't see this if they're not supposed to? Like, it's just very easy to think in terms of roles and who has a role assigned to this pen, and if they don't, then they can't look at it, you know?
Yeah, even like your pro status is part of your role, right?
Mm-hmm.
I even had to touch it today, which is why I was like, Rach really needs to look at this because I'm probably going to do it wrong. There's like, you know, there's like load-bearing methods in the Go code base. One of them is just like kind of like authorize item or something, and it, you know, it sprawls out from
anything
there.
Anything with authorize in front of it.
Anything with authorize in front of it is a big deal.
Be careful about changing that.
Yeah, today it was like a little, let's say you're a pro user and you've downgraded to free, you know, because your credit card expired and you forgot to renew, or you intentionally did or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in this weird state where you're a free user, but you've done pro things before. You've made it pro pen. So we need to like handle all those kind of situations too. And there's, for the most part, it's pretty straightforward, but occasionally there's like weird twists to it all. An example of a pretty basic one is you're looking at a pro pen that you've made before, but you're not pro anymore. So we have to decide. We have a meeting and we figure it out. And it, in this case, it was just kind of a feature parity to what we had before. If you want to save a private pen, but you're not pro anymore, you have to decide, do I really want this save? And if I do, it's got to go back public, the thing, and we give you the choice to do that. But that's a change to our auth logic, and it's like you want a couple people looking at that. You need some integration tests for that bad boy. So that's in there. Anyway, that's a little tangent for the podcast, but that's the kind of day-to-day work that we're
fun.
still doing
with permissions and auth.
Pretty good. And I you know, the reason it was very difficult, complicated thing to integrate, but we're hoping it's useful to everybody. The whole point of this is that it's UX driven, that it's adding useful features to the app for all y'all. So
yeah, things that people have been asking for years and years. So it's pretty exciting. So
what's better, Rach? Which is a bigger deal to CodePen? the privacy options or the permissions?
I would say the privacy, just because that is such a thing that people have loved and wanted in the past and been a big upgrade driver. So I think in making that option even better, I think is the most exciting one. But it could be wrong, but I don't know. For collab is definitely something that people need and use, but I don't know if it has the same mainstream appeal as, you know, the privacy levels. Yeah.
It's just brand new. So our existing code base doesn't really know that it's there yet. So yeah, you're right. It probably won't be as big of a deal right away, but we're hoping it has the cool network effects. One of the things I'm excited about is this idea that, like, when you're designing a SaaS app, it's nice to, like, tap into the moments where somebody needs to do something more advanced that was difficult for us to do, but we're making available for you. So it's a pro feature, but the moment that we ask you to go pro and to pay for this thing is at the moment of need, that you're like, I need help on this, or I need to interview somebody, or I need this thing and I need it right now. That's when we ask you to upgrade for it. Whereas I feel like the old editor didn't have as many of those moments. It was kind of like you decide earlier or just some random time. It wasn't at the moment of need.
Well, I think the old editors, the you get so much for free. Like, it really is, like, kind of crazy how much use and functionality you get for free. And you're still going to get all of that with the new editor. But, like, it's sort of now we're, like, creating scenarios where, like, you could get more than that. You could get an even better experience. And then when you want to upgrade that experience, we'll say, this is when we say, like, oh, you have to pay for that. Whereas because our free product previously didn't have this sense of needing to upgrade, you could spend, like, a lot of your time on CodePen just happily doing your thing without even seeing any kind of upsell or prompt to give money whatsoever, you know, like, and you can still do all that you could do before, but now we're giving you more options to, like, improve your experience.
We're not going to be particularly shy about showing an upgrade modal, just because this was a lot of years and a lot of money and a lot of just blood, sweat, and tears to do this. So smash that upgrade button. All right. Well, thanks, Rach. Catch us next week on CodePen Radio. We'll dig into one of these more topics.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.